From Tidbits, on September 30th, 2013, this is A Game of Docs, Apple vs. 12 South, by Josh Centers. With the advent of the iPhone 5 and the new Lightning connector, Apple did away with its long tradition of offering docks for its pocket devices. However, in the face of falling profits, Apple has re-entered the accessory market in a big way, introducing both official docks and cases for the new iPhone 5S and iPhone 5C. The iPhone 5S dock is backward compatible with my iPhone 5, so I decided to test it out. However, there's a new horse in the race. Okay, there are a variety of horses milling around in the paddock, but none matches up to 12 South, which makes some of the finest Apple accessories money can buy. 12 South's accessories match Apple's aluminum aesthetics, with gorgeous products like the backpack for iMac and our own Michael Cohen's favorite, the Book Arc for iPad. 12 South recently introduced the high-rise adjustable stand for the iPhone 5, iPhone 5S, iPhone 5C, and iPad mini. Apple's iPhone 5S dock is a tiny plastic rectangle. It measures less than 2.5 inches long and less than 1.75 inches wide. To use it, just plug a lightning cable into the back. If you're feeling fancy, you can connect a powered speaker to the dock's line-out port. Just set your iPhone in the dock and you're done. Unless your iPhone is in a case, that is. The iPhone 5S dock is perfectly fitted to the iPhone, so it's not always compatible with even Apple's official case. This has always been a problem with Apple's docks, but you'd think that the company could have come up with something better after taking a year off. 12 South's high-rise, on the other hand, will accept your encased iPhone, your iPad mini, and just about any gadget that's small enough with a lightning port on the bottom. However, with great flexibility comes great complexity. The high-rise is less of a dock and more of a hobby kit. When you open the high-rise packaging, you don't have a dock, but rather a dock construction kit, with all the parts you need. There's a front support, a rear support, a base, a plastic base cap that holds a hex key, four hex screws, and three lightning cable clips. As with Apple's docks, a lightning cable is not included. Assembly isn't easy, and the instructions aren't much help. The tricky part is screwing the front support to the base as it attaches at an angle, so you're trying to hold two small angled aluminum parts together with one hand as you insert and tighten tiny hex screws with the other. The instructions say to thread the lightning cable through the front support before assembly, but I found it much easier to assemble first and thread the cable through later. Once the front support is attached to the base and the cable is threaded through, you have to attach it to the top of the support with one of the included clips. One clip is for naked iPhones, another for thin cases, and the last for thick cases. The clips insert into the front support only one way, and it's easy to put them in wrong. And Cupertino help you if you do, because if you insert the clip wrong, it gets jammed and it is a pain to remove. You then have to insert the rear support and screw it to the base via two long holes in the bottom of the base. It's hard to keep the screws in place. However, the elongated holes make it possible to slide the rear support forward or back to accommodate different case thicknesses. Finally, you clip the lightning cable into a channel on the bottom of the high-rise and cover it with a base cap. There's no easy way to free your lightning cable. Well, you can just unplug the cable from the back of Apple's dock. With the high-rise, you have to unclip it, then route it out of the bottom of the base. It took me about 30 minutes to assemble the high-rise, and I used to work in machining and sheet metal fabrication. But once assembled, the high-rise is quite attractive. Though at about 4 inches wide and 5 inches long at its widest, it takes up more desk space than the iPhone 5S dock. If I were to suggest an improvement for the high-rise, it would be to ship the unit pre-assembled. That would double the size of the packaging, but would present a much better user experience. I'd also replace the hex screws with thumb screws, removing the need for the included hex key and base cap. So which dock is more stable? Although you might think the tall high-rise would be less stable than the iPhone 5S dock, the high-rise's larger, heavier aluminum base provides much more stability than Apple's tiny plastic dock. How about the lightning connection? On the high-rise, the iPhone sits on the front support, which is only about 0.63 inches wide. It's easy to nudge the iPhone in such a way as to lose the connection. I thought with its wider support, the iPhone 5 dock would provide a better connection, but I was wrong, as it's just as easy to knock the iPhone connection loose in Apple's dock. Turns out, lightning, while it can be used in a dock, just isn't meant for docking. The irony is, while it's all too easy to disrupt the lightning connection, it's actually quite difficult to remove the iPhone from either dock. Forget about just lifting it off the dock with one hand. You need to hold either dock down while you lift up on the iPhone. However, with a little practice, you can remove the iPhone from either dock with one hand. For the high rise, the trick is to push down on the rear support with your middle finger as you pinch and lift the iPhone with your thumb and forefinger. On the iPhone 5S dock, I press down on the dock with my pinky, like a gentleman, while pinching and lifting the phone with my index and middle fingers and thumb. I find it easier to remove my iPhone from the high rise as the rear support offers a platform to push against. Finally, what about audio and call quality? Apple and 12 South take very different approaches. The Apple dock covers the bottom speakers and microphone, so Apple employs special audio porting to enhance the sound. Basically, the dock is sufficiently concave to apply a slight amplification, similar to inserting an iPhone in an empty glass. The high-rise instead puts the iPhone on a narrow enough base so as not to cover the headphone jack, microphone, or speaker. I tried a speakerphone FaceTime audio call with Tidbits publisher Adam Ingst, and he couldn't discern any difference in sound quality between the two docks. On my end, the Apple dock was slightly louder, but it wasn't a significant difference over the high-rise. A clever aspect of the high-rise's design is that it not only leaves the headphone port uncovered, but also offers enough clearance to insert and remove a headphone jack. The iPhone 5S dock doesn't technically support headphones through the line-out jack, but I plugged in a pair of earpods and they worked fine, with a notable caveat. The inline remote controls were disabled. I wasn't even able to adjust the volume with the iPhone's buttons. In the end, the game of docks is a draw. Neither dock is especially useful, since the Lightning connector isn't suited for docking. When you can't quickly and easily remove the iPhone, much of the utility goes out the window. However, both docks make a nice throne for your iPhone and keep the cable in place. Which one is right for you? If your main reason for having a dock is to connect it to a wired speaker quickly, and you don't use a case, then the iPhone 5S dock is the way to go. Otherwise, the 12 South high-rise is the better choice. Yes, it's annoying to assemble and adjust, but that design almost guarantees that you'll be able to use it for the entire life of the Lightning connector. At $34.99, it's a bit more expensive than the $29 iPhone 5S dock, but it's constructed of nice aluminum instead of plastic and plays nice with headphones. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Barebones, CrashPlan, Smile, and ScanSnap. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Josh Centers, and thanks for listening.